Hello, magic seekers, and welcome to It Turns Out She's a Witch.
We're your hosts, Laura and Shannon,
and welcome to our podcast coven.
Turns Out She's a Witch podcast would like to begin today by acknowledging the Darkanyang people, traditional custodians of the land on which we live and record the podcast. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. We extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. Hello to our beautiful podcast coven. We are back with you for the very first episode of 2024. And season 6. Can you believe it?
Oh, it's so exciting. I'm so lucky to have you with this podcast in my life and all our beautiful listeners. We made it.
We did. It's shaping up to be another really amazing season with some beautiful guests already booked in, some really interesting topics, and
lots of adventures and deep diving conversations and entertaining moments ahead. And I must say, a little apology, because while we've been on holidays, I've been like reactivating the podcast feed of my favorite podcasts, and a lot of them are all on their breaks as well. And I am one of those people that's like, oh, come on, hurry up, can't wait for you to be back. So if there's any listeners out there that have shared those same sentiments about this very podcast, thanks for your patience. It's nice to be back, and sorry about the weeks off for that side of things, but not sorry to have the time off on the other side.
Yeah, definitely. We needed a little break so we could have a reset and be all amped and ready to go for season 6. So
yeah, absolutely. And there's always, little plannings going on, but that's not of benefit to anybody waiting for a refreshed feed of a new web. So that's
true.
Thanks for hanging around, and it's great to be back.
Absolutely. And that's a beautiful little way to slot in there about our Patreon, because we did actually do 2 bonus episodes during our time off for our dear Patreons. So, or patrons. Is it patrons or patrons? I don't know.
Oh, I think they're patrons on Patreon, so it's a bit of both. Our little coven over there.
So they got a bonus ep in December and one in early January. So, if you're not on there, you missed it. Sorry.
There's so many, fun little, a bit more intimate chats. So we do a conversations over the cauldron at least once a month, and all the other things there. I do a monthly energetic reading, and there's a giveaway every month, and all good things, bi-monthly circles. And we've just released save the dates for those as well. So for the next 2 coming up.
Very
get
exciting.
On there. It's a way to support us and the podcast.
Absolutely. So I thought we would do a little what have you been up to? Just a little refresher off the top of this first episode back.
Yeah, we were on the road for Christmas, New Year's. We went up to the Northern Rivers with Matt's family over Christmas, back down toward home to Bonnie Hills for my parents for New Year's. And then we've been back at work now with our paying jobs for at least 1 to 2 weeks now. And Maddie's played a gig with the cover band he plays in, and we've been gardening. And our girls have been surfing and learning guitar and all good things. It's been super busy. It's good to be sort of back in our house, because a lot of it was spent elsewhere. And, I think we're all feeling much more settled in the house this year, ready to just plug away at another year and explore. What about yourself?
We stayed at home over the Christmas New Year break, and then Crescent Head from the 20th of January for our annual little family holiday up there.
But yeah, it's been very cruisy, which has been good. I needed that after, like, I think a lot of people feel fried by the time Christmas comes, but
well,
just
truly.
That. Yeah, gosh, yeah. But just that first year of opening the new studio space and, yeah, it was a busy one. It was a really busy one. So it was lovely just to have that time to reset and rethink about everything and refresh. So, yeah, I think this year moving forward, I'm very keen to really lean into living more cyclical and honouring the seasons around me and within me even more. So that's my aim anyway.
Mm. It's pretty amazing coming from you who lives that way, generally speaking. So that's exciting.
Yeah, true. I do, but I feel like I could lean into it even more.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like last year was
urged to.
Yeah. Last year was and I think we spoke about this over on Patreon. I was definitely more in my masculine energy of, organisation and deadlines and business brain with opening the new space, which is, you've got to do that.
Yeah, definitely. Has to be. Yeah, that's that phase, like you're saying, that's that part of the cycle. You need to be operating in that way.
Absolutely. But then on the other hand, I feel like by the end of the year I was not burnt out, but I was getting there. I was getting to a point where I was like, I am absolutely exhausted and I can't maintain that. I don't want to maintain that for another year. I want to dip back into being a bit more in flow and, creative and embracing that more feminine way of operating and being more cyclical, like honouring, even looking at my diary for, the 12 months ahead and, I've even looked as far as June and I've already scheduled time for us off on the podcast and I will be but I'll also be taking some time away from the studio in June as well because I know that in that depth of winter you need that time to reset and, hunker down and hibernate. So, I really want to lean into that. That's my thing.
Love it. Love talking about it but living it as well. And
yes. Yes, definitely. And that does actually bring us to our subject for today, which we will be delving into very soon. I've got a few things to bring up before then, but it's that weird time we've all just been through of liminal space and liminal time, so that weird time between Christmas and New Year. But I feel like it does bring up a lot. It brings a lot to the surface and it's that space to think. Yeah, so we're going to be delving into that today because even though it's the 30th of January, people that know me know that I always say my New Year doesn't really kick off until February because January is always just
written off.
Yeah, pretty much. Like it's still school holidays and the, peak of summer and I'm still figuring stuff out for the year in January. So,
yeah,
February's kickoff time.
It's interesting, isn't it? And it's actually even nice to just honour that and not expect yourself to hit the ground running.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So I thought we would have a quick chat about what's coming up seasonally in the Wheel of the Year.
Oh, lovely.
So here in the Southern Hemisphere, we have Lummus, also known as Lunasar, this Thursday, the 1st of February. So it's a celebration of the first harvest of the season and the balance of enjoying the bounty of summer but also preparing for the colder months ahead, which is just so crazy to even think about right now, but that's where we're at. And harvest season brings us celebration, but it also raises the question, did we plant enough to sustain us through the barren months ahead? So it's a time for preparation and planning and considering your future and getting organized. And Lummus is also a time of transformation, rebirth, and new beginnings. And at this time, you can indulge in bread making, creating jams and pickling, making the most of your harvest. And of course, it wouldn't be a Wheel of the Year celebration without a bonfire. Now, it's also a great time to create a corn or a wheat dolly to protect your home over winter. And this is a really fun thing to create with kids. And as I've said before, there is tons of tutorials on YouTube to show you how to make them if you're not sure. And in many magical traditions, this time of year is associated with protection magic. So it's also a good time to renew any talismans or protection spells around your home. So that's just a little reminder for everybody. Now, for our dear cousins in the north, Imolc is happening at the same time, also known as Candlemas, which is the Christmas name for it, Christian.
Similar.
Very similar. Imolc is the cross-quarter fire festival of growth, a time of preparing the body and spirit for the new life of spring. And this festival honours the Celtic goddess of the hearth, Brigid. So this is a time for ritual to light a sacred hearth fire, candle magic, feasting and blessing seeds and cleansing your home and body. Also create a Brigid's cross to protect your home. Once again, plenty of information and videos over on YouTube. So I just wanted to wish everyone the brightest blessings for Lammas or Imolc, wherever you are on this beautiful planet.
Yes, on this
ball.
On this sphere. I love that. Thanks for the reminder. And for anybody that's just joined us, scroll on back to seasons 1 and 2 when there's episodes dedicated to each of those.
Oh, there is. We go right into all of the gods, goddesses, associated crystals, foods,
colours, rituals, yeah, you name altar it. Items, blah, 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 blah.
It's all there. It's all there.
Good things too. It's good fun.
It is. So let's dive into our topic for today. So we are talking about liminal space, the physical, the emotional, the spiritual, and the magical.
Wow.
I know. I can't wait. I'm excited about doing this episode.
I like that you're a little bit more excited because you've got all the notes, and Shannon literally just says, just bring your inquisitive mind. I'm like, okay then. I'll just channel through some talking points, shall I?
You always do. You always do, and I love it. Oh,
something
I love
happens. I'm excited now. Okay, let's do this.
So first up, what is a liminal space? So a liminal space is the uncertain transition between where you've been and where you're going physically, emotionally, or metaphorically. To be in a liminal space means to be on the precipice of something new, but you're not quite there yet. The word liminal comes from the Latin word limen, which means threshold. So it's a space where you leave where you are, but you aren't fully in the other space yet. So it's that, yeah, incredibly uncomfortable space.
Sounds incredibly uncomfortable. It sounds like adolescence and matrices.
Yeah. Yes. And we will get into that, definitely.
Oh, okay.
Now, it is uncomfortable because as humans, our brains crave homeostasis and predictability, and the liminal space is everything but that.
Yeah, it's all the shades of grey, not the black and white.
It is. So some examples of liminal space. So first of all, we'll discuss the physical. And the physical liminal space is easiest to understand as we are in physical liminal spaces all the time, but often we don't notice them because we're only there for fleeting moments. So think about like a staircase. It takes you from one floor to another, and you often don't think twice about your time on that staircase. But what about if you get stuck in a stairwell?
Or a lift.
Yes, that's another liminal space.
Because you're encapsulated.
So you can see how on a very benign level the idea of staying in that in-between space becomes very, very uncomfortable. Here are some other examples of physical liminal spaces. So one of the most obvious are doorways, bridges, crossroads, hallways, and airports.
Oh, airports, because I was thinking, what about even a plane or a car or a train?
Yes, a train. They're all liminal spaces too, because you're literally in it going from one space
traveling
to the next.
And if you're stuck in it for longer than anticipated, it's extremely uncomfortable.
Yeah, definitely. Yep, the liminal, physical liminal spaces. So they're around us and we use them all the time, but often don't give it a thought unless you get stuck.
Unless it's brought to your attention.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And then we move on to the emotional. So more simply, a liminal space may be thought of as a transitory period. People will face many different liminal spaces during all of life's phases. Some will be longer than others and some will be harder than others. But by definition, liminality has an end point, which is great.
Yes.
So here are some examples of emotional liminal spaces. So you've got moving house, a breakup or a divorce.
Oh, yeah.
Changing career, the death of a loved one, illness, and also graduations.
Ooh.
Do you think it's that time in between being a student and forging a career?
Yeah.
So many of these look like they're endings, and they are to some degree, but they are really lines in the sand. And events like these have a tendency to divide our lives into, for instance, pre-divorce and post-divorce.
Mm-hmm.
But in the aftermath of one of these events, one door has slammed shut, but you're not yet sure which door to open next.
Okay. So the path, forwards isn't crystal clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. So that is liminal.
It's making me feel a bit yucky. I really, just hearing about it all, just putting myself in those spaces.
Yeah.
Mm. I wonder if our listeners are too, because my tummy is like all squelchy.
Yeah. Then we move on to the spiritual liminal space. Oh, before we do that, I will just say, I guess in those physical and emotional liminal spaces, we can all relate to something within what I've said. But I really do believe that we have to get uncomfortable to change, because you just wouldn't change.
Yeah.
So sometimes we get pushed into these liminal spaces. Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? When you think about the past. And when you felt like that, when you felt really stuck in between one thing to the next, it's usually a really big pivot point in your life.
That's right. And that's why, you know, mindset is such a big thing when it comes to all this sort of stuff, because some people with growth mindsets have done lots of work and lots of training to bring it on and to learn that positive attitude towards it. Because like you were saying at the very start, we're built somewhat to crave that homeostasis and stay comfortable and stay the same. So it's not natural, but you can learn how to alter your mindset to embrace it a bit more. But that's a learnt intentional skill, isn't it? We might go down that way, by the way, that you're looking at me now, but
I love your thoughts. I always do. I knew you'd bring it to the table. That's why I didn't tell you what we're doing today. Well, she's got this.
She's got anxiety.
You are. Well, let's ease your anxiety a wee bit with some spiritual liminal space.
Ooh, yes.
So these are all events or states of mind where we leave one thing but aren't necessarily into the next. So, for example, creative projects.
The
entire process is a liminal space until the final piece or artwork or project is completed. Because you think it goes from an idea or a thought form in kind of limbo land until you produced it.
Yeah, literally through the creative process.
Yes. And then we have dreaming and astral travel, existing between the 3D physical realm and the dream space and other realms.
Cool.
Yeah, that's a fun one, I reckon.
That's a whole like plethora of episodes in that.
That is definitely. And then you've got meditation and journey work. So once again, existing between the physical and the other realms. This one might give you a bit of anxiety. Dark night of the soul. So
yeah.
A common
spiritual.
You're like, yeah, I'm ready. I'm getting ready. So a dark night of the soul is a culmination of seemingly destructive events within your current life for the purpose of moving you towards a new path.
Mm-hmm.
So think about the tower, tower card in the tarot. Yeah.
Deep, deep destruction.
Yes. Blow shit up to forge a new path.
That's it.
And then childbirth and pregnancy. So being a vessel for creating life and being that bridge between worlds.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a huge liminal space.
Huge and physical.
Mm. Yes, yes. And now we are on to magical liminal spaces.
Oh, okay.
And I think as witches, we pretty much reside in the magic liminal spaces a lot. When I read out what I'm about to, you'll concur, I reckon.
I'm loving this. I am. Like, you know, the butterflies are still there, but it's so cool.
So these are the type of spiritual liminal spaces that are unique to each practitioner. They are personal times of power where the veil between worlds is thinnest and our ability to weave magic in multiple dimensions flows with more ease than at other times. So some examples of magical liminal spaces are times of the day by the hour, days of the week, months of the year, seasons of the year.
Mm. They're magical.
They are, they are. Then you've got the cardinal directions of north, west, south and east. You have the elements of earth, air, fire and water, the moon phases, the full, waning, dark, new and waxing, and the astrological seasons and the wheel of the year sabbats.
Wow.
So, yeah, there are so many layers to working with liminal space and magic, and it's working out what feels most powerful for you personally. So I suggest keeping note of your magical workings in a journal and noting the patterns that emerge.
Mm.
So let's break down some of these magical liminal spaces. So, dear Laura, what phase of the moon do you feel is the most potent for you to work with personally?
Personally, and it could be because we've done lots of work with Stacey DeMarco, it has been more towards not even new moon but dark moon. Whereas if you asked me 12 months ago, 18 months ago, it would have been full moon.
Yeah.
Certainly started at a full moon. When I was really digging deep into spirituality things, and the more I've learnt and travelled through some, you know, introspection and inner work and standing more in my power, the dark moon leans into that energetically and that's where I think I shall stay for quite some time.
I 100% agree. That's exactly where I'm at right now as well. So I used to be, exactly the same with the full moon when I first started working in ritual. And then I was a new moon girl for so long, like loved the new moon, lived for the new moon. But same thing, I've turned more towards the dark moon in the last 6 months especially, and I find that day is, a day when I'm really open to channeling and I don't know, I just feel more connected on the dark moon.
Connected and deeper. I like the grit to it. And it is that owning up to, once you get your head around owning your flaws, accepting them, not judging them, almost seeing them sometimes as a strength that you can turn into a strength because it's there, it's part of you. And that's all new moon, dark moon goodness. But I wanted to say on the new moon, I never 100% fully embrace that. So maybe that is future work, but for some reason I went from all that is the wonder and awe of a magnificent full moon, that for me was so easy to embrace and so enticing and so giving. And then when I heard about the dark, I heard about, you know, new moon stuff, but I never got fully into it, not as much as I have the dark moon. So it's interesting, isn't it, where like your little paths you travel on. I always try and not say the word journey because it's really used. And I think I read a little meme somewhere about the word journey and seeing these eye rolls. So every time I'm about to say it, I try and quickly think of an alternative way. Isn't that funny? How you like self-edit as you go.
Yeah. Oh, you're funny.
Bizarre. But yeah, Dark Moon is yummy.
It is.
If a little bit scary, but I think it's a great opportunity to address and accept everything and choose where you want to go without being in a victim place. It's really empowering and solid.
Yeah, I find it a day where energetically I feel like retreating from the world anyway. Like you get that feeling of just wanting to hunker down. And also that cloak of darkness, like it's like things are being done in secret, or like you're protected. And
it's protective. Yeah.
Yeah, it is really protective. And that's how I feel. Like even when I'm doing my cards that day, or if I do any spell work or banishing or protection work, it feels like you're supported. Like it's like the world's being deflected. And yeah, I can't explain it. It's really powerful. And another time that I feel like that too is usually like the first 2 days of my bleed is that feeling of like hunkering down and going within, but also just being really tapped in intuitively. Yeah, like I usually get a lot of, I was about to say downloads but that's like journey. It's been used 1,000 times.
No, it's different.
I don't know.
There's no other way to describe downloads.
mind bombs, or I don't know.
Ooh. No, it's when not I get like my journey. I disagree. I don't think it's like the word journey at all.
But like when those times and those things just plop into your head and you're like, wow, okay, yeah, like realizations or visions or, yeah.
Oh, interesting. I have not found that. And maybe that's because I'm so irregular. I've never been regular, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Could be an overshare, but there you go.
Oh, look, maybe take note next time and see if you do feel a bit more intuitive. Yeah.
Michelle. Yeah.
Interesting. Mm. Okay. Now our next question, dear Laura. You look nervous.
Always.
Alternatively, when do you feel things are more charged or challenging?
Are we talking moon cycles?
Oh, any time. It's the moon or the charged, seasons or challenging. Whatever you like. Yeah.
The time of the year that we went through.
Yep. Christmas, New Year.
Yep. That's charged and challenging. Mm-hmm. And I think you touched on it a little bit around June, like midway. I think that's why people do Christmas in July, just to sort of break the year up.
Maybe. And wear the ugly jumpers.
Yeah, maybe. But interestingly, I often feel charged and challenged leading up to my birthday.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's why do you think that is?
I don't know. I don't know exactly. There's probably some sort of psychological aspects to it, especially growing up. I was asthmatic and I used to get really excited, but that was one of the triggers for my asthma. Oh. So then there's at least 2 times I went home from school on my birthday because I had asthma attacks. So it was never a nice experience. But also there's that people-pleasing thing, especially if you're having a birthday party. And I rarely make a big deal of my birthday because the people-pleaser side of me worries about if everyone else is having a good time, what are we doing, what's happening, hate it. Absolutely hate it.
Oh, God, love you.
So maybe it's all that sort of stuff, whereas maybe
anxiety.
These days, having done a little bit more work and maybe a bit just happy to not worry about all of that stuff, I might have a different experience. But, charged and challenging would definitely be my birthday. And probably it's not challenging for my daughter's birthdays. That's all just joy. That's exciting and fun.
Yeah.
They're my main ones. What about you?
Oh, I have noticed in recent months, new moons have been full of like crazy stuff. The day of the new moon, the last few months in a row, just all sorts of stuff, like random, just I get to the end of the day and I'm like, holy shit, I shouldn't have left my house, that kind of thing, which is normally like a full moon thing, you'd think.
Yes.
But, yeah, I don't know what's with that. Hopefully that shifts. But for me, definitely that liminal space between Christmas and New Year, I always feel quite unsettled.
Yeah.
I think just, and we did discuss this over on Patreon, I feel like it's that collective hype around the new year and around all that expectation. And even though I try not to get swept up in it, I think I still feel it on an energetic level.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, it's a big thing thinking about a brand new fresh year ahead and what am I going to do with it? Like, you've got
Yeah.
So I do find that a bit challenging. But I have in recent years found ways to, I don't want to say cope, but manage it better. So, you know, even just getting a fresh diary and calendar and in that first week of the year kind of nutting out, you know, how I'd like the year to go. I know that can always go to shit, but it's just getting in my mind like, okay, this is, you know, my little plan of how I would like to move forward. And using it more as a reset rather than being overwhelmed. Yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense, just orientating yourself to a new world, year, place, job, whatever it is that you're doing. The first thing that you do when you're new anywhere, isn't it, is orientate yourself or acquaint yourself with the things that you need to do. So it makes total sense to map a few things out to get a certain sense of stability and reliability and certainty. Not certainty, but,
you know,
orientation.
Definitely. And also, you know, obviously that's the solar new year, but the lunar new year, I always really look forward to that, the Chinese lunar new year, because I feel probably more aligned with that my start of the year. So, so I always look forward to that more as that pinnacle of, okay, that's the start. I'm going to, like, get into it and go forth. And what hopefully prosper.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said about, the various different calendars we can all follow and do follow and have exposure to. And, there is more than our Gregorian out there. So if it doesn't necessarily resonate, it could be the astrological new year. You know, there's heaps out there, and maybe that's the reason why. But any ones that you follow, it's a good way to just look ahead and stabilize a little bit, I suppose.
See what feels right for you.
Just quickly, something you said about the full moon that's challenging. Working as a nurse, definitely the volume of patients and the way they present sometimes around full moons, there's a trend that there's a little bit more in that area. And you know, you can see it in hospitals. You can even see it in nursing homes and the behaviours and that type of thing when moons. I don't know what it is.
It's so interesting.
It's a thing.
It's all energy.
Yeah.
It's all energy. You can't deny it.
Well, there's papers out there that will say, yes, we've found these trends and data, and there's, you know, papers out there that will say that's a load of hogwash. But having lived it, it's a lived experience I bring forth. Not a scientific
one. Love that.
Just so we've got that clear.
I love it. And then quickly, I was also going to say too that I have noted the last few years, and this is why I have keeping a journal or a grimoire, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
The Scorpio eclipses are always really heightened times for me.
Good one. Yeah.
That particular one. The other ones I'm okay. It's just that particular one every year when I get to Scorpio season. Yeah. I'm like, oh, here we go. Get ready.
Such There's a always good one.
But it's always like time of transformation too. But I just, it's always very heightened.
Perfect. I follow somebody called Robert Ohotto. I think he's sort of line that he uses to describe what he does is he's an intuitive life strategist, mm-hmm. and he's an astrologer, and he's amazing. Like he's a medium and highly gifted. But he does lots of strategy, but between the various elements in astrology, and every September he will bring something out because of the Scorpio elements to it. So yeah, it's a thing. He doesn't do that for everyone, but yeah, every year he will. Yeah, I can't now remember what it's called, but it's quite often the similar name. But yeah. It's a thing.
Love it. It's a thing. Mm. I'm not just crazy.
No.
And then next, I would love you to have a think about what element do you feel most powerful using for magic right now? As I know this can change, but right now.
Mm. Element.
Uh-huh.
Fire.
Mm.
Mm. I love fire. It's probably one that I love more than others.
yeah, love burning shit.
Love burning shit. Love the stay with me. Even insofar as I've been gardening, right, lots and lots of gardening and weeding, and then we had to set down all the new edging, and our last icing on the cake the other day was putting all the mulch out. And I was reflecting on the chips, the wood chips, and loving the process that a tree, it's so useful. Trees are fucking amazing, and they're one of my favorite things in the whole wide world. And I'm getting to fire, I promise you. But
we're here for it.
So I was reflecting on these beautiful chips, and I was perhaps doing my crazy lady speaking to them, and my love for trees, and how all these chips once living tree and how amazing they are to, you know, filter the carbon, give us oxygen, all of that sort of stuff. And even in its death, and then I corrected my thought and I was like, it's not dead, it's living on. Like these chips are then going to go on to our garden, and they're going to stop all the weeds from coming through, and they're going to help all the plants that we want there to grow and flourish and tender to the soil. They're just so amazing. But then I was thinking the next stage of this will be burn. Not like we're going to set fire to the mulch, but another process that wood go through would be the kindling. It would get setting light to, and there's something about that ending and the new beginning that's so powerful, I find. So it's something that I haven't always really lent into. But when I look back at little Laura Witch in her bedroom just doing things that just felt good, and I hadn't heard about any of this, and I didn't have many books aside from an astrology one, but I used to write stuff on paper and burn it, and that to me felt powerful. I don't know why at the time. And I had a little oil burner, the ones that had a little candle in it with the water and the drops of oil, and I used to just sit and watch that candle forever. One of my fondest memories growing up was sitting in front of a slow combustion fireplace, because I always had really long, thick hair, and in winter it took forever to dry. And Mum would sit me close to that safely and just brush my hair. So fire in this lifetime has always been there in a nice way for me. I haven't had bad experiences with fire. So did I answer that question?
You did. You well and truly did. I love that.
It's a bit more about me and my life.
That's great. It's all lived experience. That's a thing. And I'm sure our listeners would definitely get where you're coming from with fire and your love of fire. And, you know, maybe one of them loves earth in a similar way, or water or air. And that's what I find really fascinating about how everyone connects.
Yeah, and you with fire is very different, isn't it?
It's been a learned relationship. Like, I love it now, and I find it's probably my go-to when I'm trying to do quite powerful spells.
Yes, the candle work.
Definitely, yeah, I do a lot of candle work. But for me, probably water is my one that I've always felt really deeply connected to. But just lately, even in that liminal space of Christmas and New Year, I've got back into going to the beach early in the morning on days that I can. I'd love to go every day, but, you know, life. and just immersing in that salt water. And I even make a point of, like, when I get out, I don't shower. I'll leave it on my skin for, you know, as long as I can, just to try and absorb all that beautiful salt and, you know, nutrients from the ocean. And yeah, and it's really helped me, I think, soothe those nerves that you might feel at that time of year. So that's been one of my go-tos. Yeah, love me some water.
Especially like you were saying, for this time.
Yes, yeah, this particular time of year. Maybe not so much in the middle of winter will I be loving those ocean dunks, but you never know. I might Wim Hof it.
We'll return to it then.
We will. I'll be like, no, fire.
Give me fire.
So I thought we would get back to what makes liminal spaces so unsettling.
Ooh.
And it's more than just the fear of uncertainty. It becomes the fear that you might not have the emotional resources to cope. And this leads to avoidant behaviours such as substance abuse. Additionally, the fear of uncertainty may flood your body with stress hormones, making it even harder for you to come up for air and make decisions. So if existing in the liminal space becomes too much for you to deal with on your own, I just want to put in a little disclaimer. Please speak to someone or find a therapist to support you. On the other hand, so much beauty, and not to mention magic, can lie in those liminal spaces. Liminality can be an opportunity for huge transformation. It might not have been the path you would have chosen, but it is the path you are on now.
Mm.
So just something to reflect on. So how can we cope with liminal spaces? So everyone's going to have to deal with a liminal space during our lives, and these periods can be weird and really fucking uncomfortable, but as I said before, they can be full of growth opportunities. So practice mindfulness, be here now, use nature as a touchstone, observe the world around you, and that's something I've also been doing over our January break, is sitting outside. We've just got like a little outdoor setting, not taking my phone, having my morning coffee, literally just looking around me, because it's so easy just to wake up and stare at a screen. So just little moments like that, literally just sitting there and being observant of what's going on around you. Grounding, so lean into Mother Earth for support and to calm your nerves. Know you're being held through whatever transition you might be going through. And water. To cleanse, to purify, to calm, whether it's a dunk in the ocean, a lake, under a waterfall, or in the bath, or even just under the shower. Do not underestimate the healing power of water. And ritual, use ritual as a personal touchstone to your higher self and your spirit team. Know you are supported, and that when the time is right, you will have clarity on what direction or next step to take. And another thing that is super powerful is mantras, prayer, or incantations. So the spoken word is so incredibly powerful. Each word has an energetic resonance. So use whatever you feel drawn to align your energy with your intention moving forward. So whether that is a prayer or chanting or even a favorite song, might be just enough to get you through. And in closing, liminal space is needed to give us room to slow down, to think, to dream, and to navigate life before crossing the threshold into a new phase or chapter. So that is liminal space.
That's incredible. So awesome.
Well, I just hope it helps. I hope it helps. As I said, it's our first episode back, and I know everyone's just been through probably the biggest liminal space time of the year, and you know, some people out there might still be feeling a bit funky about it all, so yeah,
it's such a thing. And I even enjoyed your disclaimer in there that you know, you know, we do have to say this podcast is for, what do they call it, entertainment purposes. It's not life advice, although we do cover all kinds of information. It's up to you to take what's right for you. And if there are extra things you need help with, please go and seek that help out. But there's so much in there, especially when you covered the physical and emotional. I could really see some parallels, how us as a human, multifaceted being, we can merge them. So our challenging physical and emotional liminal spaces can be supported and held by some spiritual liminal spaces, and perhaps vice versa as well. So there's always help and support out there in the physical and the spiritual, depending on what you need at any given time, or open to accepting and really investigating.
I love that. Thank you for your insights. No, it's truly, like, I love that. You just summed it up perfectly. It is multifaceted and layered. Yeah. And
when you look at all those liminal spaces, it really is, like, I'm really picturing not entirely a sphere, but with all the little facets cut out of it, and they're all the perspectives, but we're in that habit. We can see everything from so many different vantage points, and depending on how many we're willing to entertain, we'll make our choices and have that a different experience each and every time. And, crazy. I don't know where my mind's at, but, yeah, downloading.
I love it. Well, that brings us on to our divine tool of the week. Do you have one for us this week, dear Laura?
Yes, I do, and it's a real favourite. But I also want to really quickly revisit one that you shared with us in season two. Mm-hmm. And for those on our for our beautiful patrons, it is in the Divine Tool of the Week, Volume 2, Episode. Season 2, Episode 8, on solacite. So you shared it's a crystal.
Yes, it is a lovely one.
Yeah, and I love how you shared it, because it is, it's not like a rose quartz or a more common amethyst or moonstone, but it is like a milky sort of whitey one, and it has prismatic crystals in it, but it's really used for different types. Like, it has slightly different energies, but it's really good for the opening of information networks and patterns in order to communicate with other worlds, especially with spirit. So it facilitates connection to your higher self and higher levels of consciousness to gain a better perspective of your soul journey through this lifetime and beyond. So I wanted to reshare that. Again, you can scroll back to season 2, episode 8 to hear all of Shannon's information on that one. But I thought I'd share, that's what really inspired me to look up more information on the beautiful tiger's eye that I've always loved. And so I wanted to share that as a really practical crystal that you can have with you during our little journey through liminal spaces, whether they be emotional, physical, spiritual.
Or magical.
Or magical. So it's all of it. It's for all of them. There is information galore out there on the internet. I found tinyrituals.co to be very well put together and written with such beautiful imagery and flair that I'm going to read some direct quotes very shortly. And additionally, the website science.howstuffworks.com had the following information on tiger's eye. So it is composed of silicon, oxygen, and trace amounts of iron oxide, creating a strong gemstone with a 7 out of 10 rating on the Mohs scale. So it's perfect for everyday wear. Its unique appearance is the result of an incredible process called pseudomorphosis, where quartz crystals replace crocodilite, how cool is that word?
Wow.
Crocodilite fibers over millions of years, giving the stone its captivating silky luster and chatoyancy. So, of course, I had to look up that word. So it's from the French term that means to shine like a cat's eye. So,
oh, wow.
Denoting the effect that occurs when a light is shone onto a rounded reflective surface and causes light to be reflected back in a narrow line perpendicular to the observer's line of sight.
Beautiful.
So, how cool is that already?
Learn something new every day.
Yeah. So tinyrituals.co have nicknamed this stone the shapeshifter, and says that the earthly, rich and curious gemstone of the tiger's eye invites the wearer to embrace their inner strength, personal willpower, and to call on the powers of protection. So it's coloured with golden bands, flecks of sand and smudges of inky black and brown. So there's no disputing the wild force and energy that can be found in this stone. So traditionally it was carried as a protective amulet against the forces of evil. It was said to ward off curses and to keep the wearer safe from ill wishes. But beyond the powers of protection, the tiger's eye comes with a whole host of healing properties. From the big cat lands of South Africa, the spice islands and tumbling tea plantations of India, and the arid, endless outback of Western Australia, tiger's eye is mined in places where heat, dry air, and a sense of wilderness runs rampant. How good are they at riding this?
Yeah, amazing.
So it is a reddish brown in colour, but it has iron stripes that can be banded in black and gold colours. It's most often the brown and golden shades that we find, but it can also come in red and even blue variants. So keep an eye out to collect the whole set. So it's a stone of courage and endurance. And it's connected to the third eye, as well as mostly, like, we know it in connotations, again, with the colour of it, it's very grounding and protective.
Yeah.
So it's mostly root, sacral sort of support that it offers. But it is connected to the third eye, so that's why it can also act as a spiritual amplifier that illuminates dreams while keeping you connected to the world beneath your feet. So,
wow, perfect. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, for liminal spaces. And when Matt and I were travelling through Belgium, I think we're in Brussels, Matt actually found a nice piece of it just on the road that's obviously fallen out of someone's pocket. So it is, and I've known it to be a sort of traveller's stone to accompany them, protect them as they're travelling, which we know is a liminal space. So I thought that was kind of cool. Yeah,
very much. That is very cool.
Yeah, so obviously, the best way to use it is to keep it on yourself, you know, in a bracelet form or pendant or ring or in your pocket. And even if it's in, you know, your lower chakras, so, you know, like a jeans pocket around your hips or a bracelet if, you know, mostly your hands are down by your sides or an anklet or that type of thing, that might be a good idea to really sort of superpower that by putting it in alignment with that energy. If you're meditating because you want to, you know, traverse off into liminal spaces of the spiritual kind, then wearing it or having it around you or, you know, in a crystal grid or that type of thing could be other ways that you could use it. And any time that you're feeling like a dose of extra strength, the tiger's eye and the strength and grounding protectiveness of that will remain you tethered while you take off to the beyond.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I was just picturing like a big cowboy belt buckle of tiger's eye.
Wow, I love that. Yeah, so it's been found in Roman shields, and let me see if I can quickly find it. I can't, but I remember reading that even in ancient Egyptian times, they were aware of how powerful it was. It was very highly revered, and they would use that as the stones in the eyes as well.
Wow.
So I know, you know, that's a really important place to place some, like a crystal or a gemstone. The significance of enlivening the eyes is very significant. So, yeah, they were found in the eyes. I think that's pretty much it for tiger's eye.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Amazing. I've always loved it, but now I love it even more. And I've worn the beaded bracelets of tiger's eye quite often at different times in my life. And when you were talking about the emotional liminal spaces, it was through probably the biggest breakup I ever had was the first time I ever put one on.
Wow, just instinctively.
Yeah, always instinctively because I never knew any other way.
Isn't it funny though when you look back on the things that you did before you knew
how
driven. Right it was and how spot on? Like when you were talking before about, you know, burning the pieces of paper when you were a kid, like I remember doing that. I went through a bit of a yucky thing with my business years ago. Like this was when I was in my late 20s, and I clearly remember writing a big list of what, you know, I really wanted to let go of emotionally because I was so hurt, and I burnt it in the sink. And I remember not understanding why I was even doing it, but I did it.
You just did it.
And I look back and think, like, on some level, like I must have known that's what I needed. And that's before I knew about moon phases and all that sort of stuff. So, and I think I've spoken about the podcast before too about, you know, being a little girl and I'd make up these little parcels and bury them. You know, just felt the need to bury things or, it's so funny, isn't it?
Yes. When you let yourself be driven and when you let yourself be guided.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
It is.
It's such an amazing thing to allow yourself because it's there, and I truly believe it's there for everyone. It's whether you can let go enough of the reins to allow it to happen. The older we get, the more ingrained we are, the more programmed we are to whatever we're exposed to unconsciously, the harder and harder it gets. But truly, when you peel those layers back, it's just such a beautiful experience to allow.
Judge yourself either that you're doing it wrong, because you know, quite often we get contacted by our beautiful listeners in regards to different spells and things like that, and that's one thing I will always give them my personal experience or opinion, but I always say, like, you do what feels right for you, because that's ultimately how a spell is going to work, if it feels right and aligned,
empowered by the person casting it.
Based on values. based on values and your intention, and I don't think it would matter what materials you were using or what words you were saying, as long as the energy behind it was right.
Couldn't agree with you.
That should be another episode. I think we will make a note of that about spell casting and ingredients. We're going to do that. We will do that. And thing. We are going to do more episodes of just you and I this year too.
Apparently you guys want it.
Apparently. That's what we've heard.
So sucked in. Oh,
so we will be interspersed between our amazing guests that we have on.
So
little sprinkle, a little sprinkle of Laura and Shannon.
Oh dear. Just another quick reminder on Tiger's Eye. It's like with any crystals or anything you use, especially if they are a divine tool and you are using them for specific purposes, love them, cleanse them and charge them and show them some love, and they will love you back even more. They'll be more potent and they will keep up that high energy.
Mm.
Yeah, so 100%. Especially with the tiger's eye. I've read a few different places. It loves to be buried. So
where you buried it.
Yeah, tie a little thread on it and put like a golf peg or a little stake in the ground so you can just pull it on up.
Oh, go you. You've thought of everything.
No, I've read it. I can't take credit. I read it. But all good things. Like, how handy is that? Because I have lost crystals. Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't lost them. You've gifted them back to the earth.
That's true. Unwillingly.
Accidentally.
Yeah. Oopsie doopsie. But love the tiger's eye. So and if you don't want to race out to the shops and get one because consumerism.
Yeah.
Google yourself up a nice image of it and connect to that energy.
Actually, I was going to say that you can try and source ethically too. There's plenty of people within Australia that are fossickers and sell their beautiful crystals. They hand mine in ethical ways online. I've got a few pieces myself, and the energy is definitely strong with those pieces. Yeah. So
it's a great idea to support those businesses that are doing it the right way.
Yeah, or the ethical way.
Yeah. And we're working on getting someone like that onto the podcast. And
yes, we are.
Getting to speak to them. That'd be good. I'd like that.
Noted. All right, everybody. Well, that is the end of episode 1, season 6, and we will be back with you next week with our first special guests of the year.
See you then.